Several years ago, I did preach from Psalm 119, and I tried to tackle the whole of the psalm, and I preached for an hour, so I'm not proposing to do that today. So we're going to read verses 89 to 112, but we want to look at the theme of God's Word. So Psalm 119 from verse 89. Your Word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. God created the world to have years. Beginning of the year, it's God's design that our time is divided up. Sun, the moon, and the stars were given for light, but also to mark times. And it's interesting, modern translations of the Bible bring this out a bit more. So Genesis 1 and verse 14, we read this. God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. The dividing up of time into days and weeks and years is something that God has given. And so it is right for us to have a sense of occasion on New Year's Day. It's good for us to reflect on the past year and to see God's hand, to learn from things that have happened and to give thanks to God for all that he has done for us. And as we look ahead to 2017, we feel our need for God, and we're so thankful for his commitment to us. What I want to do this morning is that we should reaffirm our commitment to God and to his word. He is committed to us, and we can see that in so many ways. But we tend to drift, and I want us all to recommit ourselves to God and to his word on this, the first day of a new year. In God's word, we have certainty. In God's word, we have true comfort. Here we learn what really matters. And as we enter 2017, it is God's word that we must take with us. It was nearly 400 years ago when the Mayflower set sail for the Americas. And it was God's word that they took with them. The Pilgrim Fathers, as they became known, of course, brought their supplies of food and tools, for they would have to build their new settlement on the coasts of America. But it was the Bible that was the bedrock of their lives. Before they left, and actually many of them came from Holland, they were British people who fled persecution in England to the relative freedom of Holland, but even from there they didn't feel they could settle down. And in Holland, in Leiden, their pastor, John Robinson, preached a farewell message. There's about 35 of that congregation, so not many more people than we are here this morning. We're about to leave Holland on the Speedwell and then later the Mayflower from Plymouth. And he urged them, as he preached that sermon, to keep looking to God's word. He said this, "I am verily persuaded the Lord has more light and truth yet to break forth from his holy word." It's William Brewster who led them, and they saw land, and he got the people on the boat to stop as he read from Psalm 100. The Bible was the bedrock of that new community. And as your pastor this morning, I want each of you to make a commitment to read the Bible each day of this year. And I'm going to give you three reasons why. Or at least the Bible is going to give you three reasons why. Firstly, because God's word is eternal. God's word is eternal. We were visiting an open-air museum, and I love open-air museums where they have the original buildings all brought together, often transferred brick by brick and reconstructed. And one of the buildings was an old Victorian school. And, of course, you could go in, and you had a feel for what it was like for Victorian school children. And there were some of the books there that they used. And those books seemed so basic, so simple compared to what we have to do these days in school. And, you know, we tend to look down on past generations and their ideas and their limited knowledge. But of course we forget that the next generation will do exactly the same to us. Today's fashions one day will be added to the growing heap of discarded ideas. Well, verse 89 stands out by way of contrast. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Isaiah 40 in verse 8 is very similar. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. It was true of Jesus' words. He said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." You see, when God speaks, he does so knowing everything. He knows all that is past, and he knows all that is to come. And so he never needs to take back his words or correct his words. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. No situation can arise where God's words will turn out to be false or unworkable. Oh yes, sin can lead to very complicated circumstances. But in those complicated circumstances, further disobedience is never the way forward. Sometimes it can be difficult in that complication to know what step to take, and sometimes it can be very tempting to take yet a further sinful step. But no, God, who gave his word, knew every situation that every person would ever face. And his word stands eternal, always relevant, always true. He never needs to take back, retract any of his words. They're eternal. They are above the changing ideas of the world. They are always relevant. Verse 91. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. Notice in this stanza here, particularly verses 89 to 96, how God's character and creation and God's commands are all tied together. Your faithfulness, verse 90, continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day. What's going on here as the psalmist writes about God establishing the earth which endures and God establishing his word that endures? Well, think of it like this. God is faithful. Verse 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations. And God tells us to be the same. His law is constantly telling us to be faithful. Faithful to one another, faithful to God in a whole variety of ways. Because God's commands reflect his character. God is faithful, we're to be faithful. God is holy, we're to be holy. God's laws reflect his character. To be faithful to one another as church members. We're to be faithful to our husband, to our wife. We're to be faithful to the words that we speak. We're to be faithful to God. God is faithful. His character and his commands go together. But it also talks about God establishing the earth and the earth enduring. He has established the earth, verse 90. Like his word and his faithfulness, the earth endures. How did that earth come to be? It was by God's word. It was by his word that he established the world. And by God's word that the earth continues. So when God said, "Let there be light," there wasn't light just for a brief flash. But that light continued. It continues to this day. All that God created, when God spoke and said, "Let there be land, let there be plants," they continue to this day. As it says in Hebrews, he sustains all things by his powerful word. That word spoken once continues to uphold light. Let there be light, and there still is light. God's word is eternal. It lasts. Every word that God has spoken continues to be relevant. And we can see that with his creative word. God creates something, it still exists. The very molecules that make up our bodies, the very air that we breathe. Why is it there? Because God spoke that word all those years ago. His word is eternal. But we can see the same thing with God's commands, with God's corrections, with God's words of comfort. If God has spoken them, they continue to have power. They continue to be relevant. And this is why we always need God's word. Without God's word, life falls apart. Life is a fragile thing, like a snowflake. Beautiful thing, and yet, exposed to the heat, it just dissolves. We need God's word. Verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. We need God's law just as this creation needs and depends on God's word to sustain it. Without it, we perish. The wicked, of course, ignore God's word. And the wicked want us to do the same. There's one thing they do not want to hear, and that is God's truth. To the wicked, it seems old-fashioned, restrictive, and as irrelevant as what children learned in Victorian schools over 100 years ago. But look at the broken lives that these people live. When God's law is ignored, There is hurt, there is hatred, there is greed, there is rejection, there is slander, there is violence, there is every wicked way. You know, are we really to think that the pundits and the experts of today have reached the pinnacle of wisdom? I doubt it. And frankly, I doubt that they themselves believe that they've reached the pinnacle of wisdom. Or do we think that we personally can acquire enough knowledge, enough wisdom to work out everything for ourselves? Which of us would stand up and say we can do that? Of course we can't. We need God's word. And the word that God has given to us is eternal. It is always relevant. It stands firm in the heavens. This is the first reason for each of us to read it, to study it, to mull over it, to let God's word mold the way in which we think. To verse 95, the wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. God's word is precious. It is to be pondered, meditated, mulled over. Let it mold the way you think. Let it fill your mind. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, says Paul to the Colossians. God's word is eternal. That's our first reason why I want each of us to read this word each day. God's word is eternal. Secondly, God's word is our joy. God's word is our joy. Now, Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. Each stanza, that is, each group of about 8-9 verses, starts with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so you'll see in our English version, verse 89, for example, is entitled Lameth. That's one of the Hebrew letters, a bit like our L. And then Mem, which is a bit like our M. And then Nun, which is a bit like our N. And so on. And the Hebrew word for how or what is Ma, which starts with Mem. And though the psalmist has written with enthusiasm until now, it's only when he comes to verse 97 that he can actually start one of his verses with this word, Ma. So listen to the passion. He can now at last use this great word, Ma. You know the word Ma, don't you, Clive? Yeah. It's a great word. And can be used as a question, but also this exclamation. And he says, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. What enthusiasm. He loves God's law. God's law is what he needs, but not in a dry sort of way. You know, like, you know, we recently bought ourselves a tumble dryer. And you've got to read the instructions, and it's pretty dry, and of course often the grammar looks very foreign because it's made elsewhere. And it's not the sort of, you just, okay, I've got to read this to see how the thing works, how I can get the best out of the machine. God's word is not like dry instructions. The psalmist loves God's commands. He wants to know God's wisdom for how he can live his life. Verse 98, your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. God's commands are not burdensome. Rather, they bring freedom and joy. 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I love watching birds in the garden. I saw a flock of goldfinch the other day on our neighbour's apple tree. It's beautiful, lovely colours. How can these creatures fly so precisely? They can land on that tiny little twig and they don't kind of miss every time. How are they able to fly and ever get up into the air in the first place? Well, it's because God has designed them with a way that conforms to the laws of physics. Those laws promote freedom. And we can see it in our own lives. We can live in safety when the law of the land is obeyed. The law brings freedom. We can drive in safety because people generally obey the highway code. You can zip down that road at 60 miles an hour and go round a bend. You do not expect a car to come on your side of the road. They're on the other side. The law brings freedom. But there's more to God's word than these benefits and the blessings of obedience, wonderful as they are. And sometimes just reflect on your lives. Is your home a happy home? When you think about it, you will find it's because, by and large, you are obeying God's law. It brings freedom. It brings joy. It is joy. But it's not just the blessings of obedience. It's the relationship with God himself. And this is what grows as we meditate on God's word. You see, the psalmist obeys God because it's God's word, your word, verse 101. I am more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. There's something very personal about this. It's your precepts. Verse 102 is deeply personal. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. God speaks to our hearts as we read his word. There's this sense in which the Spirit of God himself is speaking to us as we read the Bible. You yourself have taught me. It's deeply personal. Deeply personal. And when God speaks to you, it is deeply satisfying. 103. How sweet your words are to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now remember, in those days, they didn't have all the sugar that we have. You know, sugar comes cheap as anything these days. But in those days, the sweet things you had were fruit and especially honey. Honey was the sweetest thing you could find. And it wasn't that common. You know, it takes a lot of miles for a bee to produce a drop of honey. And honey was something precious. It was sweet. And this is what the psalmist compares God's word to, his experience of mulling over God's word, and as God teaches him, it is sweetness to his soul. These days, dystopian books and films are quite popular. Books like The Giver or The Hunger Games. Our children have to read these at school, and I've watched some of the films, and they make exciting films, and often in response to some global disaster, a new world order has to be set up. But it just doesn't work. It's a dystopia. And actually, it's in some ways a reflection of true life. Thankfully, things are not quite as bad as you get in these books and films. But it is something of a reflection of how the real world is. And at heart, the leaders do not really love the people. And the people do not really love their leaders or the laws that the leaders issue. How different in God's kingdom. How I love your law, says the psalmist. You see, when God gives his law, it's because he loves us. And when we obey God's law, it's because we love him. If you love me, you will obey my commands, said Jesus. It builds our relationship with God as we read his law, as we ponder over it and see the goodness of it and think, God loves me. It builds our relationship with him. When you have a letter from someone you love and who loves you, you read that letter carefully, and you read it again and again. We had a postcard from one of our children who were on a residential trip, and we read that postcard, and we mulled over it, and the words stayed with us all day. We could quote them. We could tell you what she had for breakfast that morning. And when we think of those words, we smile, we long for that person. If there's something they wanted you to do in that letter, well, you go ahead and do it for them. It's just like verse 97. I meditate on it all day long. This is my prayer for each one of you, that you will experience this as you read God's word. That it won't be like dry instructions to a tumble dryer, but it will be sweet as honey to you. That's what I want for you. That's what I pray for you. That you will experience God teaching your heart. However young you are, God's word, the Bible, will speak to you if you will read it. If you will think about it, if you will meditate on it, how I love your law, I meditate on it all day long. Think about it. Bring questions to the, what does God say to me in this verse? What does this tell me about God? Is there some promise here that God is making for me? What does this show me about my heart? What does this show me about Jesus and the gospel? And as you come with such questions to God's word, God will speak to you. And as you believe that word, it will be sweet to you like honey. God's word is our joy. I've given you two reasons so far to read your Bible each day. The first is that God's word is eternal. The second is that God's word is our joy. And the third is that God's word is our light. God's word is our light. Now, imagine you have to cross a difficult terrain, perhaps a mountainous country. It's going to take many days, if not weeks. And there you are, you're having to plan and pack, decide what you need to take with you. You're going to have to carry everything with you. And so you don't bring anything that's superfluous. You have to carry it all, and so you only want to bring the essentials. Well, there'll be food. There'll be a tent, a sleeping bag. There'll also most certainly be a map, a compass, and a light. And God's word is like that. Essential. Things that you cannot do without. It's the light that you need to show you the right way. Well-known verse, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You simply cannot do without it. It shows you the right way. When you come to a decision that you have to make, this will show you the way to take. And ultimately, it will show you the way to God himself. Light brings comfort. We're scared in the dark. We don't know what might jump out at us. You turn the light on, and it brings comfort and confidence. The word of God does the same. It takes away that fear and that uncertainty. It means you can carry on. You've got headlights on your car, haven't you? Yeah? You've got lights in your home. When you go camping, you bring torches, lots of them. I had to dig up some parsnips yesterday. It was dark, but I brought the torch with me. And you can use the torch and you can dig up your parsnips from the garden for your Sunday lunch. You use your headlights on your car. You use the lights in your home. Of course you do. Every evening you do. You wouldn't dream of sitting in the dark all evening, would you? I mean, which of you have done that recently? Ever? You simply would not do it. Now, are you going to use the light of God's word? Would you dream of going a day without switching on that light? Would you really? God's word will keep you on the right way. It will give you security and comfort and confidence. You're going to face choices this year. You will have to decide which way you are going to go. And let me tell you, no choice that you make is ever done in a vacuum. It's not neutral. There are always things that influence you. Always. And the question is this: what do you want to be the greatest influence on your decisions this year? Answer that in your own mind. What do you want to have the biggest influence on your decisions? You know, there are books that we read that have huge influence on us. You know, I read a book on sustainable building. It was great, and it had big influence on me. Built our extension with all the insulation you could imagine. And, you know, these things have influence, and it's fine, but what do you want to have influence on you? There are people who have influence on you. The people you rub shoulders with, the friends you have, they influence you. The radio programs that you listen to, the television programs you watch, the newspapers and magazines that you read, they all influence you. Now, what do you want to be the greatest influence on you this year? I hope that each of you in your mind are saying, I want God's word to have the greatest influence on me. I don't want my decisions to be shaped by people in the media who have an agenda very often that is against God's word. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. What is it that's going to influence you? Do you know the choices that Abraham made? Are you familiar with the story of Joseph and the decisions that he took? What about King Asa and what he did in a very difficult situation? What about the choice that Gehazi made? Are you familiar with what Gehazi chose? Or Demas? Or Epaphroditus? Or Onesiphorus? Do you know what these people did? Well, they are there in the Bible as examples to inspire you or to warn you. And their example can come home to you and guide your decisions. Do you know how to draw strength from the great events that the Bible describes? God delivering his people from Egypt, taking them through the Red Sea. Those battles that God's people were able to win because they trusted in him. Do you know those stories? You see, the Bible is accessible for the youngest child. Every child loves a story. Well, these are true stories that inspire and warn and encourage and help and guide you. Do you know everything that God has revealed about himself? There is more light for us from God's word. There is more about God for us to discover this year. Things that you did not know or experience before. Do you find yourself doubting God's goodness? Then read more about God, because if you're doubting God's goodness, you are not seeing him as he really is. Are you worried about something? Go back to the Bible and let God speak to you in that worry. You know, when you have to navigate, perhaps on that long mountainous pass and crossing that difficult terrain, you need a map. But it's no good just turning to the map when you think you're lost. Because it's very difficult to get your bearings. If you just, oh, I don't know which way to go now, let's look at the map. Well, you don't know where you are on the map. What do you need to do? You need to use the map constantly from the moment you set out. And the Bible is just the same. If you only turn to the Bible when you've got to decide which GCSEs to do, or decide whether this guy who's just asked to marry you is the right person or not, it's not going to work. You won't have your bearings. You need to read this every day. And then, like that map, you'll see where you are. I've given you three reasons to read the Bible every day. God's word is eternal. God's word above everything will stand the test of time. God's word is our joy. When you know God speaking to you, it's sweetness to your soul. God's word is our light. Read it every day. Follow it every day. Verse 109, though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. Let me ask you, did you once read the Bible each day, but now you've stopped? Did you once love God's word? But now when you read it, you just let it wash over you without really taking it in. Was there a time when you were careful to obey God's word, and when you didn't obey, you grieved over it? Well, at this beginning of a new year is a day that God has given you to change that. And I want you in your mind to say, God, I'm going to love your word again. I'm going to obey that word. I'm going to say with the psalmist in verse 112, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Is that how you want to come to the end of your days? Still trusting God's word, being guided by that light, being strong in God's word. Then you need to do something today. I want a response from each one of you. I want you to decide how and when you are going to read your Bible each day. And then I'd like you to tell someone. There are many different ways you can do it. I've printed out a whole load of McShane's reading plan. You don't have to use this one. It's what I use. Lots of people have used it for many, many decades. 4 chapters a day, you can read the whole Old Testament each year and the New Testament twice. 2 chapters a day, the whole New Testament each year and the Old Testament in 2 years. 1 chapter a day, and you can work it out. You can take one. But I want each of you to decide how and when, and indeed where, you're going to read your Bible. Jesus talks about shutting the door to your room. Implies there's a place as well as a time where you meet with God and read his word. Fathers, some of your dads here, I want in your families to ask each member what you as their husband or their father can do to help them in this. Right? Perhaps it'll mean sitting with your young child each morning as they read their Bible, guiding them and helping them. And you're sat there with your Bible, reading your Bible at the same time. Perhaps it'll mean getting them Bible reading notes that will help them. Perhaps it'll mean making time for your wife in the busyness of her life to carve out some time each day where you take the children, or you make sure she has that time. Perhaps it'll mean buying alarm clocks for them so that they can get up on time. Perhaps you'll agree to talk about what you read, maybe in family devotions. Don't just start well. Set your heart to keep God's decrees to the very end. Let's pray.